what we're seeing real doesn't matter. Did it ever?
Cut the music! Cut the music! You people don't deserve that music. That's right, everyone. The Doctor is doing announcements for all the podcasts we have on Haunted MTL. So this very special non-Doctor episode of... What am I watching? Oh, fuck me. High Art Camp. I mean, the best High Art Camp you'll ever hear. Wait until you hear. You won't believe what they have in store for you. Who's on this one again? Parzival and Brannick and some Dave guy. I don't know. Dave's not here. Unless you might wish he's not here after this podcast. We're not sure. But the one thing we are sure about is this podcast is about none other than Elijah Wood's greatest... Oh, what? It's not about that one? Well, how about Dirk Gunch? Not even that? Well, how about the one with the dog? The fucking dog one. We go say insane or I don't... None of... What is this one called? The Greasy what? The Greasy Strangler? Isn't that some sort of sex move? Yeah, great. I'm so glad I got community service for this. Well, I mean, it's been a great pleasure to introduce you to the next High Art Camp, The Greasy Strangler. Not to be confused with Tito Santana's finishing move. Enjoy.
Find out on Haunted MTL's High Art Camp with contributors Parzival, J.M. Brannick, and a special guest.
Welcome to High Art Camp, where we examine movies and tell you if it can indeed call itself art. With me today is extremely important art critic, Parzival. Wave to the people, Parz.
Hi.
Wave again. I don't think they heard you in the back.
Hi. I am the Greasy Strangler.
I forget what they say. Dave.
Bullshit artist.
Thank you. Yep. And I am J.M. Brannick, also super, super cool art critics. And we have a special guest joining us today. It is Dave Davis, zombie comic extraordinaire, also working on his very own game. So when that comes out, give him all your money. Hi, Dave. Welcome.
Hi, everybody.
So this is Parz's pick this week.
Parz's pick.
So you're to blame.
Parz's pick, which is actually the second movie that I watched because she picked something else. And I watched that movie and I'm like, hey, I actually like this movie. And then she picked something else and she picked this. This is 2016's indie comedy horror film, The Greasy Strangler. Let's talk about it a little bit. We'll get into it and then we'll get into our 5 points to see if it can indeed call itself art.
Yes. So I originally picked Enemy and I feel like, yes, that was a good pick for this podcast and we should definitely revisit that pick, but I'm feeling like this podcast needs a little more grease. So this is definitely
this gave
a greasy pick.
Gave it a lot of grease.
So, yeah, we follow, Big Ronnie and his son, Big Brayden. Mm-hmm. And they are, Big Ronnie's a disco
And their penises.
Lover. And their penises.
A lot.
There were a lot of penises in this movie. And I applaud that.
They're fake penises. They're fake penises, though.
Outrageously fake penises.
But yes, okay. So we follow them on their journey, their disco loving journey, where they dress up exactly the same
and give tours on the disco scene.
Yes, which may or may not be true.
Oh, they're most definitely lies.
Yeah,
most definitely.
So our first tour group has a few different people in it. And in the few different people, there's one in particular who has an eye towards Brayden. He starts to flirt with her, which it's a big no-no in the house, apparently. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of toxic masculinity in this.
Yes.
That's involved in Greece as well.
I think we can boil it down to grease, dicks, and toxic masculinity. I think that kind of summarizes it.
Yeah. To be honest, I don't know what I watched.
Well, and there's some strangling involved as well. We can't forget the strangling.
Where eyes pop out.
And then they eat the eyes.
And then they eat. And like part of, sometimes they fry the eyes first, though.
Well, with breading. With
yes. Like breadcrumbs. Yeah. Panko. Mm-hmm. You got to panko that shit.
I mean, that's how you got to do it.
Yeah. I don't know what I watched. I thought it was a fever dream, maybe. I have not been feeling super great lately. And every time I would be like, what is going on? Because especially there'd be a lot of repetition of what they were saying.
Well, and also just like scenes repeated, like every time the strangler, Big Ronnie, would go through the car wash and just that cut to him being smacked by the brushes and just screaming.
Yeah. Honestly, I felt that was cathartic.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, he just, the repetition turned annoying, and then it turned just great.
I agree in some parts.
Okay.
Because, like, when the Indian guy was trying to say potato?
Porto.
And he's Porto. Like, I'm so sorry, could you speak that slowly? And
he's Porto. Like,
Porto. I laughed. I did. I'm like, I shouldn't find this funny, and I am. And like, it was a 5-minute scene.
Yes.
And that's the movie. And sometimes people, like we said, die. They're strangled, or they get their head smashed into the potato chip machine.
Yesterday, my youngest asked me for a drink. What was I to do?
Free drink? Was it a free drink?
I said no free drinks. She gave me a giggle, so I had to show her the opening scene, and she just looked at me confused.
You know, honestly, that's a good response. Your child is doing well in life.
Well, then my other one walks in when Dad needs help with his shorts, and I got a what the flip, Mom.
Yeah, the pacing is odd. It's very like Napoleon Dynamite with its pacing, to where it goes somewhere, but it doesn't go somewhere.
I think I described it as Jared Hess directs Maniac at one point when I was talking about it. And like, yeah, because it has that kind of like, you know, how one thing I noticed where a lot of the shots were like super planar. So it was a very flat, like almost like a 2D side-scrolling shot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody's at a certain distance, everything. A lot of that like you see in a lot of like indie films.
Yes. Mm. But it was very colorful.
It was good to look at.
Yes. Or not. I mean, all the grease. All the grease. And the wieners in the grease and him eating that wiener. I just wanna know what these actors' agents said to them about this script. I think this is a good fit for you. Let me explain why.
Right.
Let me sit you down and explain why. Elijah Wood was a producer.
Which seems pretty par for the course.
It does.
He's been producing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Is Spectravision his? Or does he just work with them?
I don't know. That I don't know.
But I can look it up.
What? You have that power? What is this strange and mysterious power?
Well, it was really nostalgic to me. And I know that probably sounds really weird, but the comedy in it was like my family's, like my dad's. You know, we grew up on Monty Python. So this was really refreshing for me.
There was a nostalgic part to it. There really was, like, some of the beats to it. Some of the, just the flavor of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have two things.
Okay.
Yes, Spectravision was founded by Elijah Wood and a couple of directors. And then also, like, the movie gave me a huge Tim and Eric vibe.
Yes, yes.
I don't know that.
That was the second thing I was going to say.
Oh, I beat you to it. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And I was also going to say it was kind of a John Waters-esque type of vibe, too. Especially with all of the, like, the feces, talking about the feces and the... But like it was, and the dicks, and the, you know, like it was very in your face in that way that John Waters used to, you know, produce movies like that.
What's his? I'm not familiar with either of those things.
Well, Tim and Eric is very surreal comedy.
Usually on Adult Swim, they've had a bunch of different shows.
They had a movie.
A couple movies, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Knew the one.
You said John Waters?
Yeah, John Waters. He is a director. He was really, he hit his real big high mark in like the 80s.
He's become more of a celebrity now as just kind of this like cult camp figure. But
yeah.
Yeah, okay. But like his directing, he did a lot of like boundary crossing movies like Pink Flamingos.
Yeah.
At one point, Divine eats her own shit in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's one of those. He's a director who's very much into like crossing lines
and pushing boundaries.
Yeah. See, I started Pink Flamingos yesterday, and I could understand how people could find that funny. I just wasn't in the mood for it at the time.
It's just kind of like that shock value, but more surreal. Like more surreal than like say like the shock value of like Tom Green or something like that, where it's just shock value.
Right. Okay. Surreal. Almost like an indirect comedy. Maybe I'm thinking too hard.
I think it's just more surreal because again, it's like you watch it and you're like, these could never be real people. Like,
right. Okay.
They're always on the cusp of they could almost be real people. Like there's hints of realness.
Like Piggy Guy. The piggy guy.
Right.
Oh, I do have to correct myself. It wasn't Divine's own shit that she ate in like Pink Flamingos.
It was dog shit.
Dog shit. Yeah.
It was dog shit, yeah. And it was fresh dog shit.
Yep, fresh out the pipe.
Lovely. I hear about a scene about a chicken, and that was enough to make me not want to watch it for a while.
I don't remember that. It's been a while, because I've watched it when I was a teenager, because, of course, you always watch things as a teen to like be edgy. But anyway, going back to this movie, it's Brayden falls in love with Janet. I don't remember who she's played by, but she I really liked. Mm-hmm. I really liked Janet. I actually thought everybody did bring their A game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a real hootie tootie disco cutie.
Oh my god. Those fucking scenes. That was when Spouse walked in and was like, what are you watching? Is this a cult thing? And I'm like, no, just keep walking. Keep walking. I was like, I should like start having a running thing of where my spouse walks in and what they say, because it's usually the weirdest part of the movie and it's usually something of like what is going on, and then I have to try to explain it.
It's not what it looks like.
Although in it Antichrist, it was what it looked like. I'm like, yep, she's masturbating hoods and he's slapping her around.
Yep.
There you go. Thus begins a weird sexual relationship between the father and the son and this woman, Janet, who we don't really know too much about. We don't really learn anything about her, except for she just got over a bad breakup with Rico.
Yep.
That's kind of it. Which I felt was kind of a bummer. I would have liked to have known her hopes and dreams. Maybe she was writing a story about big amulets.
Well, this isn't that sort of movie. I mean,
no, it wasn't. No.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Velocipaster, they actually went into the story, the lady's story a little bit.
That's okay. Velocipaster. I'll have to write that one down.
Oh, yeah. Actually, me and Evie fought for that one, and I let Evie have it. It's actually a pretty good one, but it is not surreal. It's very in your face, but this one is much more fever dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially like when it gets to the end of the movie.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah.
I liked the ending.
Okay. I don't know what I watched. I watched things. There were things on the screen and I absorbed it as much as I could. And I rewound it and I still don't understand what I watched. Maybe I should have watched this drunk or something. I kind of understand. Okay, he is going to also, okay, we understand the Greasy Strangler is his father. Spoiler alert, we don't care about spoilers
here. Yeah, they give it to you right away. That,
yeah, we get, yeah, yeah, we get,
yeah, that
right away. I mean, like, it's his dad, and he has humongous schlong. His son does not.
Yep.
But he goes around and kills everybody in his life and in his son's life because of toxic masculinity, yada, yada, yada. So his son, the Greasy Strangler, takes his girlfriend, Janet, because they're about to be, they profess their love. They say they're going to be married together. The father, Big Ronnie, is upset with this, becomes the Greasy Strangler, takes her away. Then we see the transformation scene of Brayden becoming another Greasy Strangler.
Uh-huh.
Which is just
I love it.
Coating himself in grease. I don't know what that is.
Grease.
Well, it's supposed to be. It looks like vomit. It looks like vomit. But anyway, so he coats himself.
Or orgasm result.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm dump.
Oh, God.
With the way that he was so proud, maybe.
Oh, that's true.
Was the bucket a cum in the closet?
There was that scene where he was very proud because.
Yeah, he talks about like shooting six ropes or something like that.
Yeah. I'm the Spider-Man of Cocktown.
She calls him Tarzan.
Oh, let's just open up a new avenue in the movie for me.
Well, she licks him at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't consider that it could have been semen.
Well, here you go, Dave.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm going to have to rewatch it.
Come travel down this road.
Yeah.
It's the bukkakiest movie ever.
Well, maybe and maybe not.
I mean, the dude was just covered in it. So
I mean, both dudes were covered in it.
That's true.
You know, and honestly, that would make sense because if it's about like male toxic masculinity to be covered in one's jizz or in one's father's jizz and wreak havoc upon the world. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm just...
I thought the ending gave a really nice, hopeless feeling.
Okay, let's move there. So he finds his father in the movie theater, choking the love of his life. And we think, I think the typical thing is he's going to save his lady love. Not the case. He starts strangling her. And her eyes pop out, because that's how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
As we've seen before. Mm-hmm. They enjoy eating her eyeballs together, and then they have a real father-son moment, frolicking around. Continue, Pars.
And then they see these shooters, these few people, have them, their old selves, what we see in the beginning, tied up to the posts, and then they're shot to death a bunch of times.
With really bad CGI.
Really bad CGI.
Well, but also there was the scene before that where they were at the beach and you see them kind of develop this weird bond.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is after hand-to-hand frolicking. Like they're holding hands frolicking in the woods as creatures. And then they're on this beach. Like, Dad, it's not I love you, Dad, but it's something kind of close to that. And they're like...
I think the beach was before the frolicking, because at the beach they decide to go kill the guy.
That's right.
He went away with.
That's right. Yep. They bond and then they decide to again in unison, let's kill Ricky Prickles. Let's kill Ricky Prickles. And so we get like 2 seconds of screen time of Ricky Prickles, which it was a huge buildup to see this asshole in 2 seconds of screen time. Who is the guy that basically his Braden's mom left both of them for. After that, they happen upon, like Par said, a firing squad shooting them in the chest with really bad CGI effects. They should have used squibs.
I liked their faces.
Yes, that was another thing. And that, again, goes to the repetition because his dad was always sneering and he was always smiling. That's how they quote-unquote died, maybe? Anyway, their heads pop out and there's confetti and grease.
Bunch of grease, yeah.
So then their monster grease selves are like, huh, and then walk away.
That was interesting, yeah. Let's keep going.
Yep, as I would too. And then the next thing we see them and they have sharp pointed like sticks and they see the camera and... they're going to poke at the camera with the sticks, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Checks out.
Oh, yeah. It does.
Go watch it. This is not for everybody, which makes it for everybody.
So first of all, let's talk about just if we liked it. Like, what are our thoughts about it? Dave, you're the guest. How about you?
You know, overall, I liked it. I felt like it took a really dark turn for me. For the most part, I enjoyed it as kind of like this weird thing. But the minute that Big Ronnie sleeps with Janet and then she becomes mean to, what's his name? Braden. yeah, it just, it took like this really dark kind of turn for me. I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And then it kind of course corrected, but that part just like threw me. And I'm like, I felt really uncomfortable with that.
Oh, uncomfortable.
Yeah. You know, most of the movie I was fine with because I've seen some real dog shit, but like, you know, like that, for some reason, it was that like sudden change in her character that made me like uncomfortable and just like, no, this something's missing here. Something, it went from being kind of like a weird dream to a frightening dream.
Yeah. And it was really weird too, because that whole scene where they're up there having sex and he calls her a hootie tootie disco cutie.
Yep. Hootie tootie disco cutie. Hootie,
yeah. Tootie, and disco, Brayden is trying really hard not to hear and eventually goes upstairs, opens the door, and sees his father and his ex-girlfriend naked, basically kind of yelling this at each other, and is crying. It's a very weird, weird scene, because...
Yeah, I don't know.
She was, like, rubbing it in his face.
Yeah, for real. She was.
She was rubbing it. Well, I think Dave still liked it.
Yeah, like, I thought the movie overall was, a fun movie, and I'd definitely watch it again. I suggest people watch it. But there was just something like where like I'm like enjoying it because of the weird kind of dream logic. And then that happens. And I'm just like, wait, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
And then it kind of gets back to the whole dream logic thing. So I don't know what it was, but I was watching it and I was on my couch, you know, kind of relaxing. And then I just all of a sudden just felt myself get tense when that happened.
Mm. Yeah. So that was probably the most raw scene emotion wise. If we're going to have a raw scene like that there, why didn't we have a raw scene like that when Brayden was doing his switch, when he killed her? And that could have been more raw, I think. And maybe if that pattern was followed throughout the whole movie, it would have been better. I don't know.
Yeah, because it was a weird switch on her character. Because before that, she was like, fuck you, to the dad, to Ronnie. And then suddenly she's like, yeah, sure. I'll let you fuck me.
You know? And it's weird because she got like a good look at his dick and then she's like, okay.
Yeah. But like you said too, like Parr's like, yeah, maybe in that moment, because then he has to choose. Well, and we don't know how they feel because when they're the greased up strangler, it's like they're animals. They're wild. Mm-hmm. They're untamed and unpredictable. But it would be nice to have seen in that moment, like that one moment of, do I kill my dad or do I kill my girlfriend? He just jumped right in there of kill my girlfriend, you know, without a second thought, which was kind of interesting. All right. Tell me that you hate it, Pars. No, I'm just kidding. I know you hate it.
Yeah, I really enjoy this. Like, it makes me feel hopeful of all things.
What did you watch and what did I watch?
Like, I adore this. And I did not like Napoleon Dynamite. And I think it's because I took it entirely too seriously. And I was like, dude, I talk like that. You know, what's so funny? Yeah, no, I really enjoyed this. And I'm looking forward to go back and through watch Napoleon Dynamite. I watched a movie last night called Assholes.
Okay.
Have you guys haven't seen that one?
I have not, but I just love the title.
Oh, boy.
I think this would have been a good film to watch as a group. I watched it alone. Mm-hmm. So.
Would you watch it with your parents?
Oh, God, no. No.
My mom got 15 minutes in. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell.
It's not one that my parents would enjoy. Now, my parents-in-law, they probably... I don't know if they would enjoy it, but they would have sat through it. My parents would have not. But like as a group of friends on a Friday night, and that was kind of the reason too. I didn't like Napoleon Dynamite the first time I saw it, and it was because I watched it alone. And I was like, oh, this is, I don't get it. I don't get it. Then when people started quoting it, and then when people started like affiliating it, you know, it was kind of like memed before memes were really big memes. Then it was like, oh, okay. And this movie is quite quotable. There are those moments that it does speak to you in that kind of level. It does feel like almost a 12-year-old wrote it, which is funny because it was not written by a 12-year-old. But there are a lot of farts. There are a lot of poos. There are a lot of weird, like potty humor jokes. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but it does kind of, it is like reminds me of like old jokes like that.
Yeah.
You know, the something about Mary's and whatnot.
It was very juvenile. It, like, and I don't mean that in like a bad way. You know what I mean? It's all very much like if you were a kid, this would be like your favorite freaking movie.
Like this would be your secret. Like I cannot show my parents this.
Yeah. You know? Like, like kind of like how the Toxic Avenger was like that when I was a kid.
Yes.
Yeah, this is definitely kind of like that same sort of vibe of like, oh, I shouldn't be watching this, but this is so cool, and I can't believe I'm in on this.
Yes.
You know, especially if you were a kid, yeah.
Yeah, and it's so weird, and I don't understand it, but, you know, I like it somehow. I liked it. I don't know why I liked it. I don't know what I watched. Again, I think I would have liked it more if it were like a group activity thing, but I didn't not like it, but there were points when I was like, where are we going? Where I am adrift in a sea of, I don't know where the fuck we're doing. And
adrift in a sea of farts and dicks and grease.
Yeah. And people saying potato,
Porto.
and a guy saying, I can't give you a hot dog filled with grease because I could lose my license.
Oh, the acting of that guy, which I loved like it. So intentionally bad.
Yes, yeah. I know, and it's not that it's bad because it's enjoyable, but it's like a skit that goes on forever. Again, that's not bad, but it's just like there are moments where I was like, where are we going? What are we doing? How are we getting there? Where am I? So it was kind of like a fever dream. All right. So on that note, I think it's time to decide if it's art. Right, Pars?
Yes, it is. Right. We've got 5 different points. So to tell if this is art or not, first one being technical skill, which would involve the use of language, genre to convey the meaning of a story. So cinematography, the score, acting, writing, lighting, Foley casting, things like that.
All right. Pars, why don't you start us off?
I thought this was a really good try. Like, if the whole thing would have been as emotionally charged as that one scene, I think we would be...
off?
No, I'm sorry. The scene of the Hootie Tootie disco.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel like if the whole movie were as emotionally charged at that, we would be hearing a lot more about it. But I do think it'll still be around in circles in 10 years. You know, I think maybe even more so in 10 years. But the technical skill, I would give this, for what it is, a 4.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you want to go next, Dave?
Sure. Regarding technical skill, I would say, barring how like the meaning of it's kind of abstract, like I'm not sure I can quite figure out like what the meaning of it was. Technically,
we could get to the meaning of it later because that is part of the thing. But like, just like
yeah.
Okay, go on.
Yeah. So I would definitely technically I would give it a 5. Like,
nice.
You know, it's pretty good. It has that very sort of indie film vibe, just slightly askew.
Yes.
Slightly darker, which I appreciate. But like everything about it, even like the dodgy CGI, was still purposeful. I love the little repetitive synth riff. The editing seemed pretty good, like when they would do the smash cuts between the different parts of the car wash thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the staging of the shots. So like when they had those repetitious things, the fact that it kept playing out the same way, you know, it all worked for me. So technical skill, definitely, I'd put it up there.
I appreciated the cinematography a lot. I thought even though it was simple, it was really good. I remember even the first shot thinking, because it had the establishing shot of the house and then the establishing shot of him walking up the stairs into his father's room, like half naked. In that scene, it establishes their relationship really well. You know, both of them half naked and his father berating him and him kowtowing to his father and trying to appease him.
What did you think of when he was rolling around in the street in his underwear with the street light on him?
I thought that was funny. I thought that was comedic because we've seen that so many times. It's such a trope to go out into the street and just scream, you know?
Yeah.
So I laughed. I laughed.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I think that the acting was really well done. It was very awkward and stilted to be awkward and stilted. I mean, that was the intent. And they did that well. I felt like there was a lot of good lighting, a lot of good colors, use of colors. I love their outfits. The weird pig guy, you know, just his fucking shoes, you know, just these little weird touches. I liked that. So I'm not going to give it a perfect score. I'm going to give it a 4. The thing that I took it down for is the fucking song that played over.
What?
Fucking
what?
Over.
What? No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
You know what?
Yes.
I'm a guest on this podcast. Yes. I'm going to tell you you're wrong.
I'm going to tell you, get the fuck out. No. It was charming the first 8 times. After that, I was like, no. No, oh, no. Man. Like, the little giggle voice song was fine. That was fine. But my God, that was like 8-year-old Casio, you know? Like, did Dave leave?
No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
No, I took it really seriously when you told me to get the fuck out.
I know. I thought for a second you did. I thought it flashed that you left. I'm like, oh, well, okay. Fine. Yep. Fuck it then. All right. But no, that song was just too grating and too much. Too much. So
now, how is that any more grating than Porto or, you know, any of the other repetitious?
Because then we moved
elements.
Away from it. Then we moved away from that repetition. The only time the repetition would continually come back was like the grease repetition, when he would clean himself off with grease, but it was spaced out enough that it would be refreshing every time. This song played every fucking 5 seconds.
I loved it. I loved it.
Oh my God, no. No. Pick another key. Do something different, please. Because it was such a simple doop 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 kind of song. It was just too grating. Nope. Nope. That's my opinion. Okay.
Fine.
What's the next one?
The next point would be for concept or the imaginative ideas. Here we could talk about subject matter and content, the meaning and significance of the story. This is hard because I want to give this 5 for its creativity, its imaginative ideas. However, because I felt it was off, but I've already marked it down for its writing, see? You know, mm-hmm. in the technical skill. So do I give this 5 or do I mark it down here for the same reason? Mm. I'm going to mark it down here for the same reason because I think it's affecting both areas. So I give this a 4.
I guess I'll go. I would probably put it about a 3 because if there was a more significant like meaning to it, I think it may have been too obscured. That being said, like the content itself is fine to me. It's like goofy, it's weird, it's gross. Like, it's what I kind of wanted out of the movie. But as far as like it having any deeper significance, I couldn't really grapple with it. Like, I have some theories, but I would have to watch the movie again a couple of times and kind of like commit to doing an analysis. Yeah, that's why I would give it about a 3.
You can see that there's something significant here.
I think there might be. I don't know if there is for sure. Like, the hopeful side of me is thinking, okay, yeah, there's probably something here that like I am gonna pull from it, but like uh-huh. after seeing it, I just couldn't pull anything.
There's something in the farts.
Yes, there's something.
You gotta dig in those farts.
You have to sniff it. You have to wait for it. Man.
Oh my God!
It's coming. Yep.
Is it horseshit?
Have you guys seen Butt Boy?
Oh,
you might have to look at that one. See, like
we're not like you.
Fart.
We don't like absorb everything that ever comes out.
Well, okay, here's my question for you. So do you think there was an intent behind the movie, or are they just bullshit artists?
I feel like there was passion here. And I feel like because that one scene was so emotionally charged and it was very effective, you have to know that to create that kind of thing or have invested a lot into that kind of a situation. And in the end, you know, did they come upon another greasy strangler, or was it poking at us here on the screen? Like,
or poking at God.
Hmm.
I don't know. I was just throwing something out. To me, it was like they had reverted back to the ways of the old, you know, the Neanderthal kind of kind of ways.
Yeah, I feel like the movie is definitely a statement on maleness.
Mm. Like, but I'm not sure what that statement is. That's the problem.
Right. And to me, that comes down to the writing mm-hmm. or the creating this concept, you know. Totally, yeah. What about you, Bax?
I'm going to give it a 3.5 because I think, kind of like Dave said, I think there might be something there. There were points where I was, okay, this is different. This is very different. Like, you know, they took away the pig nose and there was like a gaping hole where his face was.
Oh yeah, the nose gape.
Yeah.
See, and fingering the gaping nose hole.
And then
don't eat it, don't eat it.
Yeah, I liked it.
At least he was well lubed when he went in.
Yeah. So there were moments, and again, it's like, I didn't like the dad character. Obviously, you're not supposed to. But, you know, there were parts of Janet that I appreciated. There were parts of Brayden that I appreciated. You know, even Pig Guy, I appreciated. Even the hot dog vendor, I appreciated.
That hot dog vendor got so mistreated in that film. He was like the best guy.
He was. He was just trying to do his poor job.
Guy. And he was just trying to take a shit and he got strangled to death.
You know, and he was just trying to air it out. Air out the whole cabin. He was trying to be good. But nope.
He cared too much, and that's what was his downfall.
Yeah. And Pig Guy's death, I did laugh too, because he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I blacked out for a second while he was dying. And I thought that was kind of funny. You know, I want to give it more, but still it's that surrealness to where it's like, you know, it's easy to say, oh, that means something when it doesn't maybe necessarily mean something. There are a lot of pieces that, like, you know, I watch, oh, what's that one big one that people really freaking love? Eraserhead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you listen to, you know, the director's commentary, you listen to all these different things, and a lot of it is like, you hope it's this big thing, and it turns out it's not.
Eraserhead, at least, I definitely got like a message from it and a message that I could interpret just from watching the film, not just, you know, taking into account commentary and outside stuff. That stuff is good. But when I watch Eraserhead, I see things in the film that give me a message. I didn't really get that from Greasy Strangler.
Yeah, the only thing I got from Greasy Strangler was about the maleness.
And even then, that's not like a wholly developed kind of thesis, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so could you, okay, so I was little thinking dick and about big this, dick. Their relationship, I could see that being two females, too, like a mother-daughter relationship.
Like a big clit and a little clit.
Them being the mother being that way toward their daughter. I mean, it would just be about different things, you know what I mean? It wouldn't be about penis size, it'd be about, I don't know, fatness or something.
Well, I think there's always like, there could be competition between the sexes, but I think there's a lot more aggression, and this especially was about aggression in maleness. You know, his father was very aggressive, and that's why
domineering,
and also that's why he is the opposite. He is more feminine. He's talking about how he smiles, you know, he smiles when something happens, where his father, we saw in a few different scenes, would grimace when he would smile, you know, as baring his teeth like an animal,
you know. And this is like a distinctly male movie. I for the life of me, I cannot envision like a gender swapped version of this story.
At all.
I don't know. There's just something about it, and I'd have to look into it. But yeah, there's just something about it that's just like, it screams strictly kind of dealing with issues with manhood. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you can transplant it.
No, for sure. Yeah, the issues addressed were definitely more male via male. I'm just saying the situation I could see happening, like mother wanting daughter all to herself, or mother wanting son all to herself, and sabotaging or ruining, you know what I mean? I can definitely see this with different
like
genders.
Psycho?
I haven't seen Psycho things? Yet.
I know you haven't seen Psycho yet. That's why I brought it up.
Wait, and your co-host? You've not seen Psycho?
I know, right? Shame.
Well, I'm just going to put in my application.
Thank you. You know, after all this build up, you're probably going to see it and be like, that's it. But it's good. It's good. But anyway, it's the parental figures and things like that. And I don't know, you don't really see that a lot as much with males, with the father wanting the son to stay. So that was kind of different. But I think it was more like he wanted someone to take care of him. He wanted somebody to cook him things. He wanted somebody to take care, look after him and feed him and things like that. It wasn't so much maybe an emotional bond, but more of a...
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's almost as if he supplanted the role that his wife filled through mm-hmm. his son.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he treated him like shit. And so that's why it's kind of sad in the ending that the son chose to stay with the father. And never realize his big amulet writing fantasy future. Yep. Okay, so I answered that.
The next one is aesthetics. So its sense of beauty, how much did it elevate your senses, if it did, and was it a pleasure to watch with your eyes? I'm going to start with, it felt enough like it was a different universe. Things were just a little bit off. Like he would use, at one point, Braden used the word, it tasted fizzy, and the color scheme and things like that. And then just the readily availableness of the grease. But to me, I absolutely loved everything I saw, like from these totally unreal penises to the colors. I thought it was great. So I give this a 5.
All right, Dave, what did you think about the penises?
Okay, well, I thought they were very funny. You know, if we're talking about aesthetics, this kind of goes back to my point about like the technical skill, where like I see like very good technical skill, cinematography, that sort of thing. But aesthetically, I wasn't super huge on it. It skewed a little too much towards like that kind of like indie film sort of aesthetic to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I just like, I didn't get like a sense of pleasure from it, but it was that kind of revulsion that became pleasurable.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that. So like when you mentioned like pleasure, I started laughing, but it's not something that's supposed to like please your eyes.
Yes, it's visceral. But,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, as far as the aesthetics go, like I don't think it was a very aesthetically strong film, but I think regarding like the cinematography and the craft, it was strong. Mm-hmm. So I would probably have to put it at about a 2.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. Surprisingly, this is, I think, one of the highest films I'm going to rate on aesthetics, which is another reason you can just get the fuck off the show. To me, and maybe it's a little bit different, but like you were saying, Pars, with it being a little bit off, some of the scenes kind of reminded me sometimes of when I do have a migraine, and sometimes when something will appear different. There won't be like a big aura, but something will be a little bit more visceral than it usually is. Like maybe a little bit more sheeny. Like when we were looking at him frying up the sausages and there's like that sheen to them. And
yeah,
when I saw that, I was like, oh, I've been there before. You know, yeah. I've seen this before. Or when he was walking and there'd be certain things that they highlight.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yes, these are things that are in my normal life. And again, I don't think that was intentional or anything, but that does speak to me because it does make me feel more visceral. It does give me not a sense of pleasure, like you said, but it does, mm-hmm. it twists my stomach. It gives me a sense of something, sense of dread or a sense of doom or something like that. And when he was getting slapped with the brushes and the water was spraying, and there was something kind of almost otherworldly to it.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated that. I'm actually going to give a 4.5, which I think is like the highest that I'm getting. I know.
How could it have gone better, you think? How could it have been a 5?
A puking.
More penises.
A puking scene. Puking up the eyeball.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm not saying that because I hate puke. I do. But for it to get to that visceral. And also, I think, to highlight, because they highlighted their bodies a lot. But hers was much more subdued. And maybe just a scene of her body. They did kind of show a little scene of her walking away with naked with a dog. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like aesthetically heightened like some of their scenes with their dogs were.
Yeah. Do you think they did that to be safe?
I don't know. I don't know if they did that to be safe. And I don't know if they did that to heighten the masculinity and downplay the femininity. That could have been another thing, because she, whenever she was around, she was very, except for her muff, she was very natural looking with the lighting, with everything like that. Whenever we would see them, it was much more otherworldly. It was different.
I feel like the movie would have been way different, and maybe like that, it wouldn't have been as effective if they had, you know, emphasized, you know, femininity and highlighted it more than they did. You know, it's like the only time her form is like at all, like, I would say, like, maybe idealized is when she's walking away with the dog, because it's presented in such a way. But beyond that, you know, just the nudity is like super casual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things, like, because if I'm recalling correctly, she's the only woman in the movie, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, if they do any more with her regarding that, it kind of changes the entire tone of the film, I think.
However, since she's Brayden's first time, you would think that we would see it a little bit through his lens too, where everything would be a little bit more heightened. I did like that scene though, where he's like, am I doing it right? Is this okay?
I did too, okay? Yeah.
Are you okay?
Oh, no.
No comment.
I did like that scene. I was like, oh, poor.
But I mean, like, also gotta be able to relate to that, though. I can relate to that.
Yeah, I'm like, please speak to the boy. Please say something. Please say something. But again, she was just herself. I don't know. I thought it would have been played off a little bit differently, since it was his first time, and I don't know. But anyway, 4.5.
What's next? Emotional power. So it's symbolism, how we interpret this film, art as experience, oneself in relation to the universe. I wish I could give this higher. I really do. Because I think it could have been like really, really, really cool. I give this one a 3.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you on that as a 3, because like the only time that I felt at all like super emotionally involved with the film was the whole weird triangle between Big Ronnie, Big Brayden, and Janet, and like that whole scene with him like bursting into the room. I don't know what it was. I kind of wish the film kind of went more towards that well of just wholly awful, just emotionally devastating stuff.
Yeah, because it never really went that deep. Kind of like the next scene, he was like, you know, I really love you. And she's like, really? Cool. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get together.
And it was weird because earlier when she was at the disco on the date with Big Ronnie, she was talking about how she was falling for him, falling for Big Brayden, wasn't she?
Yes.
So it's just like, is Big Ronnie's dick so powerful that it like completely rewrote her character?
Well, he's a smoothie.
Smooth talker, yeah.
That's true. He's a smooth talker.
No, I agree. I only gave it a 2 for that. Because again, I could kind of see myself in the character of Brayden, because it was like, I think in a way we've all been that kind of like lovable loser who has had that bully in our lives that has told us, you're not good enough. And they got with a cutie, tootie, hot patootie, no, whatever, and rubbed it in our faces. And you're like, I'm just going to go in the street and scream. But also too, like those scenes where it's just like, am I doing this right? And not getting any fucking thing back.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I was like, just say something. Anyway. But, and then it evolves into getting shot and heads exploding. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then at the end of the day, I was just like, I don't know what the fuck I just watched. So, 2.
You laughed when
I did.
Well, no, with Eraserhead. When you said Eraserhead, did you watch that and not know what you watched at the end too?
You know, I did not like Eraserhead. I really, really wanted to see it. My Missouri friend was like, "You don't want to see it. Trust me, I've seen it." I'm like, "No, I really want to see it." She's like, "Fine." We watched it. I'm like, "What the fuck was that?" She's like, "See, I told you you didn't want to see it." I'm like, no. We got to watch it all over again with the director's commentary because it has to mean something. There has to be something here. Yeah. And we listened to it. And allegedly, he didn't remember writing it. Oh. And like all this stuff. And I was just like, okay. And then I was trying to read online, like, other people's theories. And then finally, at the end, I was just like, I don't know what the fuck this means. It doesn't mean anything. And
I'll have to watch
wasted it. My fucking time. As the girl in the radiator. What the fuck? Anyway, I didn't laugh at it. So it wasn't funny. The chicken scene in Eraserhead was interesting, but that was the only thing that I kind of liked about it. Otherwise, I didn't like it. At least this one, I liked it, and I laughed a few times, but I just don't know why I liked it.
Well, our last one would be the cultural relevance or the influence that the story has. If we rate it here on the communication of ideas, socially, philosophically, politically, and also its representation of reality.
These are really hard to figure out.
Like, what do you mean?
You know, cultural relevance, ideas, socially, philosophically, politically, and representation of reality. It's like, I don't know, it was a movie about a couple guys with, like, extremely varying dick sizes. And one of them would dip himself into grease and kill people.
Excuse me, we are art critics. This is what we do.
I'm just saying that this is a lot more involved than I had thought it would be. For a movie called The Greasy Stranglers.
So. This is what we do.
This is what I meant by greasing this podcast.
We did this with Ghost House. We did this with, what was the one that?
Oh, Asylum.
Pain was on Asylum. We understand if something is art or not, and this is us deciding it. The end all be all.
End all be all.
End all be all. So what would you give this part, do you think, as a cultural relevance? Do you want me to go first?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll go first. I'm actually going to give it a 3.5. And the reason I say that is because I think not now, maybe not even in 5 years, but maybe in about 10 or so years, I think 10 or 15 maybe, I think there's going to be some sort of cult following with this. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to happen soon, but I think there's going to be a point when people are going to look back on this and be like, oh, this is very quotable. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is very strange. Oh, this is very something different from what we're watching right now because we don't like the horror or the comedy or whatever it is that we're watching right now. And this is something different from that. Mm-hmm. And it is going to start getting played a little bit more. Is it The Room? Of course not. Is it, you know, something Rocky Horror? Of course not. But I think it will build traction over time. I think because fart jokes, for as lowbrow as they are timeless, you know? Mm-hmm. I know Shakespeare had fart jokes in his stuff. So it's going to hold up well. So I think it will gather more traction. Politically, no, not really, you know, but but I think culturally, I think it could hold up. Who wants to go next?
I'd be happy to go.
Sure.
Yeah, regarding cultural relevance, I do think this is a film that's overdue for at least like meme potential. Mm-hmm. You know, in our discussion prior to this, I'd already kind of like dabbled with some memes and everything like that, but I don't know, there's just something about this movie where it's just weird enough to where once the cultural internet zeitgeist gets a hold of it,
right,
I think it's going to end up becoming a major, you know, a major kind of cultural touchstone, at least in the horror and comedy community. If someone is able to kind of parse the meaning out of this film, it may also have a important thing to say about masculinity. I just until someone is able to parse that out. For the life of me, I can't figure out what they're trying to say, but I know they're trying to say something, or at least I hope they're trying to say something. And I think once we figure out what the hell they're trying to say, I think the film is going to be more of a cultural element than it currently is.
That means I'm going to have to watch it again and try to really figure it out.
Okay, so you watched Bully 9 times. You can watch this one more time.
As far as a score, though, I'd probably put it at about a 3, because that's like more on the there's potential here side of things, I think.
Agreed.
Okay. You don't think
that it was Big Dick Daddy is funny? Is the dig deep? All right, Pars, what do you think?
I give this, my gut instinct tells me to rate this a 4, but I really think it's more of a 3. Just, I'm not getting a political message, and then its communication of ideas, I think, is a little bit rough. Maybe a 3.5. Let's go 3.5.
Oh, that's with me. Yay. Yeah. We agree. I think that's the first time, yeah.
Yeah.
We should commemorate this. All right. So now we do a bottom line of basically the bottom line score. Pars, what would you give this?
I would give this a 4.
Dave?
I would say a 4.
You know, I was going to put a 3.75 because I'm difficult, but.
What the hell?
Because of that fucking song. But I'll be generous. I did like the pork guy, and I'll give it a 4 too. It was fun. I don't know why it was fun, but it was fun. Okay, so Pars, do you have any recommendations?
The only thing I can think of to recommend is, and I've thought about this for like hours, and I don't know if I've opened up a door that I now have to watch a bunch of other movies that I've never even heard of because I like this one or not. But the only thing I can think of to recommend is Who's Watching Oliver? And I believe that is on Prime right now for free.
Do you have any recs that you would like to recommend? You can just recommend whatever.
Yeah, I think, well, based on the subject matter of today's episode, I have two recommendations. If you've never seen Pink Flamingos, mm-hmm. I think that this movie has some vibes with that, so I would definitely suggest watching that. Another recommendation is Tim and Eric's Bedtime Stories on Adult Swim, which kind of deals with kind of like horror adjacent sort of storytelling, and it deals with it in a very weird way that kind of, I think, would be a nice companion piece to The Greasy Strangler. Definitely another one I'd put on here for a cringe comedy horror is Bloodsucking Freaks. For sure.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too. I was going to say Pink Flamingos, which is a good recommendation, I think, for this, if people enjoy this movie. I would also, I guess, suggest maybe it's an, I think, 80s or 90s screwball comedy called After Hours. I didn't really like it, but it is kind of surreal in the same kind of way that this is, that you might kind of like it. And if you like 80s movies, you might like that, too. Again, it kind of was in my cup of tea, but give it a try. I don't know where it's at. All right. We did everything.
What do we talk about next time?
Oh, okay. So next time is my pick. I'm going to be picking one that I've been waiting for a very long time to be free again, called Santa Sangre, which is a beautiful film. Kind of balls to the walls. It's the same director that did Holy Mountain. So... Mm-hmm. It is on Tubi for free, so if people want to go check it out, I highly, highly suggest it. It is weird and wonderful and just circus performers and armless people and just crazy, weird, wonderful things.
So let me get this straight. You bring me on for The Greasy Strangler, but you don't bring me on for Kiedorowski.
Yeah.
What the hell? What the
Hold
hell?
On. Which one should we watch? Should I watch first? Holy Mountain or Santa Sangre?
Oh. He did Holy Mountain. We're watching Santa Sangre.
Okay. All right. Well, which one? Well, should I watch Holy Mountain too?
I mean, if you want to. I mean, Holy Mountain's good too. It's kind of surreal as well. But that's what we're going to be talking about. Is
El Topo might be a good one.
Yeah.
It's definitely the most like narratively normal of his films. Yeah. Yeah. But El Topo would be a good one. Like, it's kind of like if you want to get into Jodorowsky, that's where you start.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I started right with Sancho Sangre and I was like, what is this? I love it. I think nice. It's in the 70s. I think it's okay. Sancho Sangre is, and it's just beautiful. Anyway, that's what we're going to be doing about. So sorry, Dave.
No, that's fine.
So we will see you next time, and thank you for listening, and everybody say goodbye.
Bye.
Bullshit artist.
Bullshit artist.
No free drinks.
Porto.
I think he means potato.